What's going on, y'all? This Cat Magnus is propagandist. Tonight, it is Monday, October 19th, 2020. By the time most of you guys will be hearing this, it will be Tuesday, October 20th, 2020. But either way, this is the Awakened Demagogue Podcast. Okay, so tonight I want to talk to you guys about conspiracy theories, conspiracy community, and what it's like to be a part of the Illuminati. I can't even really honestly say I'm not a part, but anyway. So, the past couple of nights I've been checking out some Frontline documentaries. There was one, The Choice, that was analyzing, you know, just the life paths of Joe Biden and Alex Jones and Donald Trump and how we got here and how they got here. And then last night, I found Frontline documentary called The United States of Conspiracy, and it's basically a profile on Alex Jones and his whole conspiracy community and how he basically dug deep into the psyche of the alt-right, the far-right, the extreme right, and just hyped them up, and how Donald Trump very astutely saw the level of influence that Alex Jones had over this demographic and that he needed to tap into. From that came from that alliance or that connection between Alex Jones and Donald Trump, we got the mainstream realization of the conspiracy community. The thing is, you know, back in 2006, I was introduced to Zeitgeist, and that started me down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories, and what's this about the Illuminati, and David Icke, and the reptilians, and his Hegelian dialectic thesis and synthesis, which is actually true. That's the actual Hegelian dialectic, but David Icke frames it as problem-reaction-solution, which is not quite the Hegelian dialectic, but, you know, people who don't know about it, they just go along with it. And that's the thing. Like, when I got into conspiracy theory and the conspiracy, all of that, for a while, I was on it for about 6 or 7 years before I decided, I want to see this shit for myself, right? And that's how I started on my path, and I will get more into that into the next segment. But what I want to focus on in this segment is just, you know, the background and the backdrop and just looking at the conspiracy community. You know, a lot of people in the spiritual community or the New Age community or in the occult community or in the mysticism, you know, mainstream Western mysticism and all of that. You know, some people that are just caught up in New Agey stuff, they're like, oh, mindfulness is going mainstream and, you know, it's all intertwined and entrepreneur culture and venture culture and grind and hustle culture. It's pervasive all throughout that. But most of the people who end up in one of these little outgrowths of it start with the conspiracy community, right? And from conspiracy community, you get the truther movement, which is what we see a lot of people harping on about now with COVID. Now, from an advanced and academic understanding of actually studying the world, there's been dissent, but there's been tension and disbelief and just mistrust of the media and government, not just recently, but for decades. It's been that way since Vietnam. That was actually the main weakness that North Vietnam, that Hanoi had exploited during the Vietnam War, this ability to effectively divide the consciousness in support of the American people for or against something, to where we are so unstable that it's easy to gain a victory over the United States. Because ultimately, though, we won every military victory in Vietnam, the ultimate downfall was the outrage of the public and various protests and then police shooting college students who were trying to protest the war and whatnot. And, you know, one of the main keys even according to Sun Tzu in The Art of War, one of the main keys of a general that, you know, one of the main part key points that ensure victory is the total and complete support of the populace, of not just the people who are fighting for you, not just their total and complete allegiance, but that of the people. You know, if you're a governor, you're fighting on behalf of a nation, you need the total and complete support of the people who populate that nation as well. So that builds up the morale of the troops who are actually going to battle. Because if the people at home are disgusted and divided, then the people on the ground, you know, they don't have any support, right? So then they become disgusted and divided. And it all just kind of falls apart. And even if you can keep, you know, your one band, one sound, kind of cohesiveness, if you will, on the battlefield, ultimately, those in a political position that are actually leading the nation, you know, they may, like, they had to call them back at the end of the day because they didn't have the political will, they didn't have the support of the people to continue going on in Vietnam. So, you know, this is not a new problem. You know, not trusting government, not trusting authorities, not trusting the media. It's not new in America. And to a point, it's actually the bedrock of America. You know, not wanting tyranny, not wanting this all-powerful government that just tells you what to do and tells you what to think. And, you know, that's what it means to be American, right? And it's such a fundamental right to be able to think for yourself and decide your life for yourself. But, you know, just like magic, just like anything, just like prayer, you know, just, you know, any, even technology, any new invention, you know, there's the upside, there's the good parts, and there's the good stuff that you can get out of it, and then there's the downside, the bad stuff you can get from it, and the dysfunction that could come from it. So this idealism that, you know, everyone can think for themselves and be free, and not be beholden to one or the other party, you know, in totality, like they are in China. You know, we're beholden on to no one, as my mom used to tell me. It's a vital piece of being American. But it ultimately, as we can see, works against us because now we can't figure out, we don't know our left from our right, from our up, from our down, from the truth, from the false, you know. Everyone thinks everything that could possibly be true is fake because it must be fake because it's on the internet, because CGI and video editing and photoshopping and all of that is so advanced. People can see something actually happening in real time and then automatically say it's fake, it's staged, you know, especially while, you know, we're in the age of social media where everyone's trying to make a skit out of their lives or script their lives to have their own little mini reality TV show or something to get more clicks and more hits and be famous. You know, now nobody believes anything. And that's inherently dangerous. And what we have with COVID is that nobody knows what they're doing. And they may honestly be inadvertently hinting towards the fact that they don't know what they're doing. Fauci and them have even admitted that we do not know, we do not understand this well enough yet. That's why we need to take precautions. But, you know, everyone's still just saying, even that's fake. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what's going on. And there must be some big conspiracy. There must be some hand behind the curtain that's making this happen this way. But from an academic perspective, if people actually understood how utterly incompetent people in power are, how absolutely clueless presidents tend to be, and how absolutely full of crap many scientists can be, they would be terrified. They'd be terrified because it's like, wow, nobody knows what they're doing. And like people in the success circles and in the entrepreneur community, people at the top, they all say, do your thing because no, in the end of the day, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing, right? So we're seeing this play out in real time, but unfortunately, it's with a real pandemic, it's with a real variation of a coronavirus, of a flu virus, and the thing is, nobody has mastered this, right? And, you know, we have the conspiracy community revved up, riled up, and thrown into the mainstream thanks to Donald Trump, who runs his campaign and his presidency on the conspiracy mindset that fuels that lockstep ultra-right base that Alex Jones astutely tapped into to build his career and his platform. Now it's all mainstream, and now everyone thinks they know everything, because if Alex Jones can tell himself he knows everything and everything is fake, then so can we. Everyone else can say it. Now, you know, now everything's Pizzagate, everything's Illuminati, you know, and people are being harassed because of Alex Jones' conspiracy theories now being the mainstream. Not just the conspiracy theories being in the mainstream as they were during the 2016 presidential campaign, but now it is the actual frame of thought. It's the actual thought process of a very loud and powerful chunk of the American population. It's infiltrated the Black community. And it's funny because, you know, for me, actually going through the various rungs of misinformation and disinformation to get to this actual literal level of illumination that I'm at, you realize that in the microcosm of just the conspiracy theory, in the conspiracy community, the Alex Jones conspiracy group talks the same shit that the Black consciousness community does. They peddle the same exact red pill, truth movement, conspiracy theories. Many in the Black conscious community either talking with, speaking with, or being inspired by Alex Jones, and then taking it back with a Black spin to the Black consciousness community. They are, you know, in lockstep, peddling the same misguided bullshit. And people are just eating it up because no one believes anyone in authority, which is something, like I said, that has been going on since before Alex Jones himself was born. Right? Wait, let's see. Let's just see. Alex Jones' birthday, right? 1974. Vietnam War dates. And this is just Vietnam, right? November 1st, 1955 to April 30th, 1975. He was 1 year old. Alex Jones was 1 year old at best at the end of the Vietnam War. So yes, and I just told you guys, a large part of the Vietnam War and what came to be the end of that, to be the unraveling of that, and what was trouble for that throughout, was a mistrust of government and the mistrust of the media and the ability to manipulate the consciousness of the American people through media, through misinformation, to sow division. This didn't start with Alex Jones. This shit, this ability to deeply divide and defeat, not conquer, but at least defeat America, has been around since before Alex Jones and his big time conspiracy community. Of course, when you had the 1947 Roswell UFO thing going on, that's probably around the time where it really got deep into people not trusting media or the government, because people wanted answers about the UFO or the abduction experiences that people have had. But my ultimate point is that Alex Jones is not the be-all and end-all of the conspiracy community, but he is a major player and a huge catalyst for where conspiracy theories and conspiracy thinking has gotten to today. Kudos to him, because, you know, I'm a person that whether they're good, bad, or ugly, I respect their hustle. I respect Kamala Harris for getting herself to where she wanted to be. I don't have to like her policies. I don't have to like her face. I don't have to like anything about her, but I will respect the fact that she did her thing and she is where she wanted to be. She got, she by any means necessary, like the church, you know what I mean? She got herself to where she wanted to be. Alex Jones, too. By any means necessary, you know, he knew his base, he put on the face, and he ran his race to fame. Donald Trump put on, you know, he knew his base, he knew Alex Jones's base, and he attuned, just like Alex Jones, to that consciousness. He knew his base, he put on the face, he ran his race, he won the presidency. Unfortunately, there's so much backlash over the last 4 years, that he He's in dire straits. He's not guaranteed a win. He wasn't really guaranteed a win the first time, but he's definitely not necessarily guaranteed a win this time. It all depends on how these Democratic voters, because, you know, the thing about the right is that they can always depend on the left, the base of the left, to not get out and vote, right? So this time around, are the people going to get up and vote or not? Because the people that vote, the people that Donald Trump sold to, the people that Alex Jones caters to, they get out and vote. They up and purchase. That's why both of them are so successful right now. So we're going to have to see how that goes. But as far as just understanding how conspiracy works, how this whole awakening process works, I've been through it. And I'm the person that started out as a truther that was on Facebook thinking I was doing the damn thing, and I was so self-deluded. And then I got myself into trouble. And some would say I sold out. That's fine. Because I'd rather actually understand what the hell is going on than be yelling off the top of my lungs and sounding like an idiot like the rest of these people. But how does it work? You start with, you know, you get deep into conspiracy theories and, you know, reptilians and Pleiadians and stuff. That, when you get to David Icke and reptilians, and that's, and, you know, reptilian governments and stuff, and that's something that Alex Jones does touch on. He touched on it more, maybe about 10 years ago, I think, because now he's more mainstream. He's, you know, really dealing heavily in politics and, like, real on-the-ground stuff. You know, he was with the Bilderberg and their old secret societies, and he talked that Illuminati shit really well. But that, you know, David Icke really is in deep into the whole reptilian conspiracy and the ET races liaising with governments and stuff, or, you know, the royal family being reptilians or something. And when you get into that theory, which can take you either to ancient aliens or deep into you thinking you're one of those people, like I did, I thought I was from Sirius, and I just might be on a soul level, but, that's a different subject. But for right now, when you get to conspiracy and you get to the talk of ETs, it takes you into the realm of starseeds. And this is actually how, this is what YouTube will even take you into. You know, that's how I got there. YouTube videos going down the rabbit hole. And I'll take you into believing that you're a starseed. You're a light worker. And that takes you into the new age movement. Or at best, the spiritual community. And now, we see it in the mainstream as mindfulness. As yoga. As a daily activity. As this convoluted consciousness, elevated consciousness, and the spirituality that goes into entrepreneurial thinking, this visualization. And that's really a half-assed and very surface-level understanding of occultism and or mysticism. So then it just depends on how deep you really want to get into your studies. I wanted to know the truth. I wanted, you know, hardcore understanding of everything. So I got myself into, you know, learning more about occultism and mysticism and going my own path. But, you know, for a lot of people, they stay stuck in the New Age movement. Some people stay stuck in what is now the neo-woo spiritual community, where everyone thinks because they had a traumatic experience in life that qualifies them to be an overpaid quote-unquote life coach. And now you see on the mainstream everyone's trying to be a life coach now. It's the ultimate new scam. It's the new pyramid scheme. You know, just say, you know, I went through some shit and I got myself better. Now I'm an expert in trauma bonding healing and modalities, and I got a Reiki certificate, and now you can pay me $10,000 a month to fix your life or something. Yeah, that's really a thing. That's really a scam. You got the New Age community where everyone is an oracle reader or something, and everyone makes a tarot deck. I like to say that the tarot decks and making oracle decks are like are to the New Age community and the spiritual community as mandalas are to Buddhist monks, because at the end of their studies and their journeys, for Buddhist monks, they are challenged to create a mandala, which is supposed to be like the culmination or of all that they've learned and an expression of the illumination that they've gained through their journey. So, you know, just like everything else in Western New Age spirituality, which is ultimately just a bastardized version of Buddhism, which within itself is a
offshoot of Hinduism, which a lot of people in the New Age community don't really know or get or understand, because they're too busy just doing yoga for fun, not for the sacred practice of understanding. So, there's that. And it's funny to see everybody just, you know, kind of build up their egos around making, you know, I made the tarot deck now, and I have these oracle decks, and they try to put, you know, pass themselves off as these masters or these enlightened people, and they really don't know much of anything. They probably don't even understand the meanings of the cards that they created, but they just want to make money off of other people. They are mini Alex Joneses, you know, finding people at their worst and at their most vulnerable and creating their own mini cults. I remember back in the day when I was heavy into studying conspiracy theories, and there was this group called Armageddon Conspiracy, and they say, you know, when you join these secret societies or something, at the end of the day, the goal is to create your own religion. That's what they said, the Illuminati. The goal was when you go through all these things, then you become a master, and you create your own religion, or you create your own cult. You know, and then they do that really well in the New Age community. Unfortunately, most people there don't know what the fuck they're talking about. But there are so many people lost and looking for answers that they believe anything that is told to them. Then you get those who join, that go deep into occultism. They just read a bunch of books. They read a bunch of books about magic, Goetia, John Dee, and Archangel, angelic magic, angelology, They join dark secret societies, OTO, Ordo Templi Orientis. They join Golden Dawn. Some of them become Freemasons, but they go the left-hand path. Some may become Rosicrucians, like I did, but they, you know, they lean more towards the left-hand path and the dark arts. And then you get those that are kind of like me. They, you know, I stick to my little bit, but you know, I stick to the world of the middle path. You know, I wouldn't say that our work is all about light, life, and love. That's what they say on the surface. But as you get deep and you actually get to know people and you're actually really a member of it, not just on paper, but actually in real life, and you know people, it's more about the middle path. You're not too light. You're not too dark. You learn all of the arts, and you ultimately, the goal is to walk the middle path, the way of the heart. And, you know, you do whatever you do according to cosmic guidance. So, you know, there's levels to it. And some people stay stuck in the conspiracy truther level. Most people get stuck there. They just are stuck on Facebook and Twitter or whatever, just, you know, sharing the truth. And now that COVID is out there and blah, blah, blah. Like, I even had a conversation earlier today. Someone was like, yeah, I see you red pilling yourself. I see you getting the red pill. And I'm looking like, I mean, I am an academic. I take in information, but at the end of the day, it's still the same thing I've always said. Nobody knows what they're doing. Nobody knows what they're talking about. Most people are responding the way they are because they can't handle realizing that the experts don't really know. I've been saying that the entire time. So there's that. You know, I mean, you got to give them a chance to figure it out. You might not like how they're doing the whole process of figuring it out, but at the end of the day, nobody knows what the fuck they're doing, and they're just trying to figure it out. I've been saying that the entire time. My position has not changed. How, you know, seeing things differently may have happened, but I'm still drawing the same conclusion. I didn't suddenly just say, oh, I took the red pill. No, because I actually grew out of conspiracy truth or consciousness, and I know better. But, you know, conspiracy theories are now the mainstream thing. Being a paranoid nutcase is now the way to go. It's popular. It's selling stuff. It's getting people hits and clicks. And, you know, that's the thing. Conspiracy theory has, you know, since the Trump campaign in 2016, and Alex Jones being a pivotal part of, playing a significant part in that, a significant role. Conspiracy theory, conspiracy consciousness is now in the mainstream. But the beauty of it, if you want to be on the conspiracy tip with it, is that conspiracy theories and truther conspiracy and truth or consciousness are actually at the lowest level of awakening. They are the rock fucking bottom. That is literally level one. Maybe levels 1 through 5 at best. So if you want to be conspiratorial about it, okay, elevation of consciousness worldwide, right? It's happening on its own. Control it. You know, if you want masters behind the curtain controlling everyone. And you see everyone kind of waking up in their own way anyway. And you want to maintain the current financial and control structure that we have. Well, then, the more enlightenment you get, the more you align yourself with people who are at the top, who make more money. Hence, you know, creative visualization, magic, becoming your master of your own destiny, these, all of these things that you actually get when you actually reach the Illuminati level of whatever the heck you're in, including me. That comes at the elitist level, right? Everybody arguing about whether Fauci should keep his job or not are at the way, 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 way bottom of consciousness. They're arguing about conspiracy theories, right? Then just above that, you have the people who are a little more awakened. These are the spiritual people, the spiritual community, New Age community, life coaches, everyone that's just talking about this stuff, all this woo stuff. And I'll even separate spiritual community and New Age community, right? You've got the general mainstream spiritual community, life coaching community, where you guys use the words and the phrases, but you don't really know what you're talking about. But, you know, you read a couple of books and you watched a couple of movies and boom, you got it all. There's that. A little more esoteric than the conspiracy theorists, but you know, you think you read that and now you got it, now you're qualified to be a coach. Okay, great. And then you get the people above them in the New Age community. They actually kind of really get into their spirituality, and it's not just some fun, mundane practice of meditation and yoga and all of this. You know, it's not very surface level. That's where you get the people that think they're channelers. They actually believe that they're oracles. They actually believe that they're, you know, seers and doing things. And, you know, they're the ones that create the tarot decks. They're the ones that create the oracle decks. They're the ones who actually write the books and, you know, get signed with Hay House and do all of these quasi-esoteric things, you know, the Teal Swans, the Greg Bradens, even the Marianne Wilsons, although she, you know, yeah, I don't really rock for her like that. You know, she's a little, according to the New Age community, the people that have dealt with her, she's a little racist too, but you know, we're not going to talk about that tonight. You know, that's them. And then you have the people who want to know. The solitary magicians of sorts. And then that's just, you know, that's just a whole forest of errors within itself. You know what I'm saying? When you actually get into the occult and you want to know what's really going on, and you start joining these orders that Alex Jones and David Icke say are bad and taboo, and that's the Illuminati, and they, you know, sacrifice children in the middle of the night and all of this stuff. Some of these people actually try to do that. Some of these people become witches and drone coven. Some of them, a lot of them, join various orders, Golden Dawn, OTO, Amorc, Marnism, well, Amorc and TMO and all that. That's on par with actually like Skull and Bones and Freemasons. And then, you know, under that you got Golden Dawn, OTO, and all these other orders, Hermetic orders and whatnot. And that's not to say that the people on the upper rungs and the more elitist orders don't dabble in the other ones that are more left-hand path. But, you know, those people are actually kind of lower vibrational because they dwell in the dark arts, they dwell in the occultism, they dwell in the dancing with the devil and demons, and they, you know, that's where people start getting the God complex, and they start saying, not only did they have past lives, but they must have been Cleopatra or some Genghis Khan, somebody important, you know what I mean, that's either really important or really fucking badass. In my past lives, I was a ruler, I was a badass, but I do not remember what my names were. I just know I was a man most times, and I was always in a position of power. That's all I know. That's all I recall. And it's probably best that I don't remember my name. I haven't been here in a long time. I'm not really happy about being here. But anyway, I have karma to work out. But that's fine. I'll get into that next time. But, you know, and then, so then you got, you know, those people who are lost in their God complex, right? And then above them, you have the people that realize, I had some past lives, but maybe I wasn't that guy. Right? And then there's the 500,000 levels of that, where you actually get into degrees, right, of consciousness. That's where you get your Freemasons, your Skull and Bones, your Amorcs, your Rosicrucians, and stuff like that. You know, in the Western world, the two big badasses are Freemasons and Rosicrucians, to be honest. And there's like a ton of Rosicrucian orders, and then there's Amorc, the anomaly. Whatever. We have our own controversial history. And, you know, we're not the be-all and end-all. We're we're just, you know, a motley crew of characters. And anywhere within those rungs of consciousness and exploration, of course, you know, above us we have, you know, people who have really, like, ascended. People who have actually fully awakened. Those are typically your monks, your Dalai Lamas, if they walk the earth. Your most enlightened people who actually make positive change. The most actually powerful people. Not just political power or financial power, but like true raw power within themselves. And how they embody that or manifest that on the physical plane can vary. And then, of course, that's when you get to the ascended masters and, you know, all of that. And then, you know, then the principalities and the thrones and the ETs and, you know, whatever. Beyond terrestrial doings and goings on. So that's generally the pyramid and how, you know, the levels of consciousness. So when I see all of these, oh, yeah, you're taking the red pill. It's like, dude, like, I took that shit and shat it out years ago. But, you know, keep telling yourself that you know more than the person who's just not saying anything. And that's fine. I'm gonna let you believe your bullshit. Because one day you'll be like me and realize you knew nothing at all. And I'm just looking at all these neo-conspiracy theories. And it's just like, wow, I remember being there. And boy, how I did not know what I did not know. So in the next segment, I'm going to focus more on myself. As they say in the 12 steps, keep the focus on yourself. And tell you guys a little bit about my actual personal journey through the rings of fire. Y'all, round two. So in the last segment, I really dove deep into the levels of consciousness as far as the awakening process is concerned, and conspiracy theories and Alex Jones, and how conspiracy theory has been brought to the mainstream of consciousness and has hit critical mass. But you guys, like I said in the last segment, you guys just really don't know what you don't know unless you're somebody who knows me and you're in the know. Hello, brother, or sister, frater, or soror. So, this segment, I'm going to talk about my journey in particular. I'm going to be my own case study, if you will. So, 2006, I was introduced to Zeitgeist, and from there, I went down the YouTube rabbit hole. Alex Jones was my fave. I used to tune into him all the time. I was addicted to him, mainly his theatrics. After a while, maybe a year or two, especially seeing his cameos in A Scanner Darkly and Waking Life. Waking Life is my absolute favorite movie. I can recite the entire film. I began to realize that he's more of just a caricature. You know, he's just a character, he's playing his role, and then a lot of his stuff is just stuff. A lot of it's just bullshit. A lot of it's exaggeration. Talk about sensationalism, right? He's worse than tabloids with his crap, you know? But people go for it. People eat it up, and he acts it out really well. Another person I was really into was David Icke. I love his lectures, especially, you know, just the imagination. You know, how he strikes the imagination. He really awakens that. With his presentation of extraterrestrial beings being in league with world governments. And the royal family being reptilians. And we're all run by reptilians. However, according to ancient astronaut theory and legitimate researchers that you find on the History Channel in the Ancient Alien series. 2 to 12 extraterrestrial races are in league with our governments as is, per astronaut Neil Armstrong and others. They just have, you know, yet to reveal themselves. And that's another level, you know. You have the New Age community who believes they are the ET beings, and then you have on the other side the UFO community and the people who've been abducted and just believe that they exist, but, you know, they're like test subjects, right? Maybe there's like a split there. You know, just because of the illusion of contact. And you know, it's interesting, I was binging Ancient Aliens last month while I'm grieving and going through stuff, and
you know, I'm listening to these episodes, and I'm like, yeah, Dogon tribe, yeah, this, Mufon, that, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And, like, all of these things that were, like, at the front of my mind and my consciousness, maybe 10 years ago, or a little less, maybe 8 to 10 years ago, they're still in my subconscious mind. I still know my shit. I haven't thought about it a lot recently, especially in the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years, because it's either been trying to figure out how to make money or just taking care of my mom. And, you know, I fell off a lot with that stuff. And it was around 2012, between 2012 and 2014, I really got myself into some stuff. But, you know, and the thing is, like, I started my blog in 2011, and that was 5 years, and, you know, deep into just taking in videos and conspiracy theories and meeting people on Facebook. Armageddon Conspiracy. That's where the conspiracy theory led me. And that's how I really, really learned about the Illuminati. You know, David Icke talked about Illuminati. Alex Jones harped on and did his various monologues about the Illuminati. And I'm like, you know, you guys keep saying all this stuff about the Illuminati and all this stuff that's going on. I want to see it for myself. I don't want to just hear it from other people. I want to find these guys. I want to know what's going on. I want to be in the know. I want to be a part of something. Right? I want to participate, right? So that quest to be the authentic, you know the true in the know, set me on this path to find the Illuminati for myself. You know, I watch a documentary and they say they're, you know, the Illuminati, they're actively recruiting online. Oh my God, you can join online. Da, 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 da. There's levels even to that. Don't let the cute little memberships fool you. Okay, there's levels to that too. But, so I wanted to see it for myself. You know, I didn't want to just keep taking people's words for it. I wanted to see it for myself. I didn't want to be like most of these people who are out here in the mainstream critical mass of the conspiracy community and saying, yeah, 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 because he said it, that must be true. Or he didn't say it, he must be true. Or because he's on mainstream media, he has to be a liar. You know, I'm not that dense. You know, I want to see it for myself. I want to experience. I want to participate. I would like to sit at... I don't want to be outside Bilderberg talking out of my ass. I want to be in the meeting, okay? I want to be at the table. How do I get there? That's how I've always looked at it. So I found myself on this website that was just on and on for days called Armageddon Conspiracy. Oh my gosh. I thought I had hit the fucking jackpot. Pot of all things Illuminati, and I'm like, all right. And then I found a bunch of weirdos just like me on Facebook and various Facebook groups. In the beginning of Facebook groups, before they became mainstream, you know, marketing tools or whatever. The thing is, I was using Facebook groups to market my stuff and my website. That's how I built my online art gallery and e-magazine and had artists from around the world. I was, you know, in Facebook groups spamming folks and running cheap ads and stuff. You know, I've been in the game for a minute. Just, wow, I don't even realize how far I've come until I look back and say, damn, that's where I was. But yeah, a lot of people, a lot of them from Australia too. And you know, we were all just, you know, in our heads, just like, you know, we found it, right? We're going to be Illuminati. Which branch of the Illuminati do we want to join? You know, do we want to be Freemasons? Do we want to be Rosicrucians? Do we want to be Eastern Stars? Do we want to be Ordo Templi Orientis? Do we want to dabble in Thelema and get with Aleister Crowley? You know what I mean? You know, do we want to go Golden Dawn? You know, do we want to do all of them? You know what I mean? And then the various levels within that. You know, there's a lot of people that were wannabes that never joined any order, whatever, at whatever level of, you know, that pyramid. And then there's some of us who joined the club. Some of them, like I said, became Freemasons. Some of them were OTO. A lot of people joined multiple orders and compare and contrast notes and then create their own magical occult regimen. I personally joined... I became a member of the Rosicrucian Order Amorque and its inner circle, the traditional Martinus Order. And I'm happy there. And I don't need a lot of different orders, and that's because I am naturally gifted
in the arts that everyone joins 5,000 orders to master. Whether you're a New Ager or you join Golden Dawn or you go Freemasonry, whatever it is, ultimately you're trying to get in touch, you're trying to awaken the psychic body and get in touch with all of these faculties and activate the quote-unquote junk DNA that mainstream science doesn't know what to do with. It's not junk, it's just they don't know what the fuck it is, so it must be junk, because human arrogance, especially Eurocentric human arrogance, purports that if they didn't diagnose it and they don't know what it is, then it must be meaningless or useless because it, you know, it's, you know, Pixar, it didn't happen. You know what I mean? If they can't readily identify it, then it must be useless because the unknown terrifies us. So it's better to just throw it away and hide, right? Until we know what it is for sure. That's what we're dealing with COVID. You know, nobody really fucking knows, and they can't throw it away and hide because people are dying. But, you know, they're going to flex and try to say that they know and they did it. And, you know, you got, then that's the clusterfuck that we're dealing with right now. Yeah, I chose the Rosicrucian Order Aramark, and like I said, a lot of people, they join all of these orders, and they read all these magic books, and they do the Operation of Abra Malin, which is supposed to be like this 6 month to a year long isolation period where you initiate yourself, and it's supposed to be your holy guardian angel. Which is basically kind of like a version of the higher self, and like you stare into a mirror and like you go through this symbolic psychic death, and then like you pour ashes on yourself, and then you eventually you scry into a mirror and then you stare at yourself, but then like it changes, the image shifts, and then you see your true self. You see your holy guardian angel or higher self or whatever you want to term it as. Maybe it could be a past life version of self. Who knows? I have not performed that, but I did read it intensely. So one could say I performed it in the psychic realm by way of visualization as I read through it. So yeah. So some could say, some would probably say, oh, I sold out and I joined the Illuminati. And you know what? I did. That's fine. I received that. And you want to know why I received that? Because I'm looking at the rest of you dipshits like, damn, you have no idea what you don't know. you get to these upper levels, the higher levels, and you don't know what you don't know. I'm one of those people. That's probably why I had the experience I did, because I'm supposed to be one of these people out here saying, yeah, it's worth it, right? It's real. I don't know why. I don't know. I know that I naturally have these gifts that people go through all these operations, and like I said, they join these orders, and they try to awaken all these psychic gifts. The most coveted gift is to be a seer, to see the future, to see in people's lives, to tap into the Akashic Records. People like telekinesis, telepathy, all this other stuff where you can kind of fuck with people and, you know, or kill people, whatever it is. But the most coveted gift, for a pop culture reference, American Horror Story Coven, Cordelia had acid splash into her eyes and she was blind, but then she gained what was called in that show the second sight. She was able to touch something or touch someone and get, you know, visions and see what was going on with that person. She was able to see that her husband was cheating on her. She could touch something and, you know, feel the energy from that and see what happened, you know, to the person who owned that object or something like that. She could see the future. Mainly she could just see into people's lives. And her mom, Fiona Good, the Supreme at the time, said made a very profound statement. She said, it is the greatest gift to have, but the hardest to live with. And the main reason that it's the hardest to live with is because you see everything. You don't get to pick and choose what you see. You see what you're meant to see. And you might see things you want to see, you might see things you don't want to see. You'll see that always at an inopportune time. And I think I talked, it's either on a live, it's an Instagram TV, I talked about it on IGTV, because I was talking about tarot and my own gifts as a seer. So a lot of people join these orders and play, you know, getting the magic and stuff, so they can ultimately be given the greatest gift of being able to see the future and the past and the present. I was naturally born with that gift, so, there are some people who, you know, they go through the degrees and they awakened some psychic gifts and some things, and I walked into a lodge. You know, I'm still kind of in my conspiracy mind, like, yeah, I'm going to infiltrate the Illuminati, and I'm going to be the savior of humanity, I'm going to fix it, I'm going to take these guys down, and I just realized that I was one of them. Oh, know thyself, and ye shall know the gods in the universe, man. I was like, damn, the monster in the mirror is me! Holy shit! I'm much like you fucking heathens. Wow, no wonder I got away with some shit that I got myself into. I mean, it could be as mundane as, you know, I wasn't that important. But considering other dramatic things that happened in the background, that's pretty fucking badass. That's pretty goddamn important. So, somebody was pretty pissed off. But, you know, I'm still here because I myself, in my various levels of self, I'm a pretty high-level badass motherfucker, and I'm here to do some shit, and y'all need to get the fuck out of my way. I need to get out of my way, but you know, some things in life and some hard karmic lessons that I had to learn came through my journey that has just passed and will be finalized on Wednesday when I bury my mom's remains, and I'm completely, you know, liberated to fully walk in the wholly integrated self. That is me. Yeah, I'm a person that walks into the lodge. Everybody knew who I was before I got there. It was creepy as fuck. And some people say, oh yeah, we saw you on the little website. The little Rosicrucian community social network. Oh, I saw you there. But then there's one person, he's like, hey, you're such and such. And I'm like, why do you know my name? And he's like, oh, I bought a shirt. You work at this place. And I'm like, why the fuck do you know where I work? And he's like, oh, well, I didn't say why the fuck, but you know, that's what I'm thinking. And he's like, oh, I bought a shirt from your store one time. And I'm like, I've never seen you a day in my life. But okay, if you want me to believe that she was at my job, you probably wasn't. Okie dokie. So yeah, I had lots of creepy, weird happenings like that where people would know what I was looking for. Like, I was looking for a book. I'll never forget. I was in the lodge. It's at the little library area. And I was looking for a book. I was looking for a book by Helen Blavatsky. I was looking for to see if they had the secret doctrine. Theosophy, that's another thing. A lot of people dabble in theosophy, trying to, you know, get to the secrets of the universe. Nicholas Roeg was a really interesting mystic. Read his work. His stuff is fascinating. Russians are deep. They're not good for much. Their government isn't good for much of anything but war and conquest. But man, the people are deep. Especially the ones that are into the occult. You need to read them up. Read up on them. But anyway, I was looking for a Blavatsky book. And I found it. Like, I don't know. It was just like, I don't know. It's oh, there it is. Like, it stuck out to me. Or somebody maybe psychically directed me to it. Because, you know, I was still kind of asleep. I thought I was goddamn on a conspiracy theorist mission. I thought I was infiltrating the Illuminati just to wake up and realize I'm one of them. Good night. Good day. Good morning. And yeah, I found the book and I pulled it out and I was holding it in my hand. And one of the I'll just say the higher-ups or the elders, someone who's been in order for a while, looked to me and said, oh, what you got there? And, you know, I saw the secret doctrine. I had been looking all over for this book. And, I found it. And she said, yeah, that's the one they said you were looking for. And I was speechless because I literally was on Google the night before looking for a copy of The Secret Doctrine, Part 2 by Helena Blavatsky. And why the fuck did people that I've never met before in one of these Rosicrucian lodges know what book I was Googling the night before? Why? Why? How? So I had a lot of experiences like that. And I shared with one of my fathers. I was like, you know, I've had some really, you know, people knew who I was before, you know, when I walked in a room. And, you know, people know what books I'm looking for. Did you have experiences like that? They're like, no. What the hell? Are you special or something? Because, like, when you actually are part of it, you know, it's not a conspiracy. Like, you take it seriously. So they're like, whoa, who are you? What the fuck do they know? I was like, I don't fucking know. I mean, I know now. I didn't know then. I was still in the lower level conspiracy mind, thinking I was going to infiltrate the Illuminati. Whoo, fuck. Waking up's fun. So, I say all this to say, if anyone's listening to this and you think you know everything because you heard a couple of cool conspiracies, And you think maybe you're in a cool room. If you don't walk into a room where they already know who you are and they know your destiny and they know, and I mean, they knew who I was. They didn't, I mean, some of them recognized my face from a store they may or may not have walked into. But the people who knew what books I was looking for knew something. Like, those people, they like, made it abundantly clear that they knew some shit about me that I was not ready to be consciously aware of at the time. And as I thought I was deluding myself into self-importance and a God complex, the more my journey continued, the more I realized, maybe it's not all in my head, right? So the God complex may have died down a bit. I did come back down to earth, but I remember when having a graduate degree in international relations and having access and proximity to power was only a dream. And it's like, now I am officially credentialed to walk right in the fucking room. Like, I don't know how, like last year, you know, my mom was still able to at least, you know, sit by herself for a few hours. You know, I said, hey, I'm going to go to the city. I'm going to, you know, check out some groups up here. I live near the UN, you know. Maybe I'm going to go to a talk on foreign policy and stuff. I'm going to, you know, try to be around people that are on my level. You know what I mean? That are interested in what I'm interested in. I thought I was going to some random talk about campaigns and, you know, the Sustainable Development Goals. I literally walked into the middle of Sustainable Goals, the UN Grand Assembly Week, surrounded by motorcades. A stone's throw away from the UN, I was actually at an event for that was hosted at the UN Plaza Hotel. A little reception to celebrate Sustainable Development Goal 16. I was in the room. I literally stood maybe 5 or 10 feet away from President Macron of France and saw Prime Minister... Hold on. What is his name? Now y'all hear me typing. Got his name. Boris Johnson, right? Yep, Boris Johnson. Saw his wild ass hair from the back. I'm in the room with mayors of Mexico who had assassination attempts on her life 13 times because she wanted to bring change to her locale. I'm in the room with foreign ministers from Liberia or something like that. Sitting here discussing and celebrating UN Sustainable Development Goal number 16. Peaceful and just societies around the world. I sat 5 to 10 feet away from the former digital head of digital strategy for the Obama campaign. And his talks about, you know, the future of political campaigns. I was, you know, consulting and working on campaigns and stuff and interested in, you know, sharpening my knowledge and skills in that area, so I went to his talk. And I'm like, whoa, how the fuck did I end up in this room? Well, that's, you know, another cue to me being who I am and where I'm supposed to go in life. And, you know, it levels of awakening, and it's not like, you know, I always thought it was just kind of in my head. You know, it's like, I'm just finally crazy and depressed and I want to feel special and important. But I've actually had dreams showing me what level of society I am meant to operate at. And that was way back when I was deep in, like, New Age starseed delusion. And that's a part of why I thought I was just kind of in my head, because I knew, you know, as I became more enlightened, I knew that many of the phases that I had gone through and the levels of awakening and consciousness and realization that I had gone through previously were like just bullshit and a lot of delusion. So, but the same narrative, the same core narrative has played out in my life. And it's like, wow, I really have a Master of Sciences for International Relations, graduate with distinction. I'm actually qualified to walk into somebody's policy space. I'm qualified! Oh, shit!
And what am I qualified to do? Some really kick-ass shit that I'm not going to tell y'all about. And, you know, in my recent meditations, it's just been like, all right. You know, and it's crazy because I received readings from, like, a good friend that was a former client and a family member, you know, about where my life's going to go. And as they gave me revelation, because I'm not good at seeing for myself, especially when I'm in a dark place, I may absolutely see the truth, but I won't believe it or I'll sabotage it. So I always get insight from other people. And I was just so miserable and tired and strained at the time that I would just, you know, I'd take the trash out and I'd just pray and tell God I'm ready. Tell God I'm ready. Just wait and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. And the more ready I became, the more things in life expedited. And then, you know, shit just happened. Boom, 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 boom. Things were supposed to happen in the spring, happen in winter, or something like that. And then, you know, mom passes away. And then it's just like, all right. I did my first round of grief. I'm stepping into my truth. And stepping into my truth is nothing more than reviewing. And it's literally a reading that I got from my cousin, my family member. She said, you're going to sit back, everything's going to come clear to you, and you're going to remember things that you forgot about, and then it's going to all make sense, and then it's going to take an open heart and a meticulous attention to detail. Policy analysis and setting policy for the world. It's a hell of a lot of meticulous attention to detail, not to mention the thought leadership piece that's going to kind of have to be a part of my path. And of course, an open heart, because this time around, instead of, you know, I'm going to be who I've always been, a badass, powerful person, because I've always, it's just this time I'm a woman. I have to, you know, that karma. I have to learn that, you know, you can't treat people like shit. You know, I was not a very pleasant person in my past lives. And, you know, I'm not entirely a pleasant person in this lifetime. But this is definitely a karmically filled one. The beauty is, if I don't become corrupt again, I will fulfill my dharma. But, you know, that explains the first 33 years of my life being filled with trial and trauma and turmoil and learning what it's like to be a woman and be objectified and have objectifying myself and just being in this space and everything, you know, living in squalor or, you know, rundown home. Not living in luxury, but still some subtle cues of what I'm worth and what I should have access to. You know, occasionally I get nice things. You know, I still have a cross from when I was 12 that's from Tiffany and Company that only the rich and wealthy can recognize readily, right? But I, you know, I didn't grow up rich. I didn't grow up wealthy. You know, not in this lifetime anyway. And, you know, there were some other lifetimes, you know, I wasn't particularly born into things. And there are some times where I just was. But, you know, a lot of times I'm still kind of sinister, you know. I'm like, give me the fucking throne, you know, I'll take that shit. That's kind of who I always was in my past lives. And, you know, the more I kind of remember things and I kind of put together some meditations that I had. You know, there was one lifetime where I was just kind of like a soldier, you know, doing my thing. I think I died in battle. But for the most part, it's either, you know, war, peace, and power, you know, and I'm still that person. Like, international relations is literally nothing but war, peace, and power. The mastery of that. Still quintessentially myself, right? But this time I had to learn what it's like to be a woman, to be used, to be objectified, to be poor, to live in poverty, to have to figure out how to pull myself up by my bootstraps, to have to do all the things. And, you know, to be selfless, to care, to have emotion, to do the right thing. And, you know, I did a lot of, you know, caring for my mom was integrity and doing the right thing. But it's also in learning to care for others and to take care of others and to really cultivate that open heart and to give to people. I've always been an elitist. Even in this lifetime, I've always been this elitist. I've been a powerful ruler a couple of times. But I wasn't one of the good guys. You know, I was definitely there during Atlantis, was not one of the good guys.
probably a significant part of why we ended up in that war. And yeah, that shit. If you know anything about Atlantis and Lemuria and what happened then, sorry, my bad, y'all fault. I'm here to, I gotta fix it though, you know? That's the thing. We are on the cusp of the most important evolution of human consciousness since the Great Flood and the fall of Atlantis and that war with Lemuria and all of that shit. We are on the cusp of the greatest leap in advancement and, you know, human consciousness and awakening and just technology and everything. And a lot of old heads that haven't been here in a long time are back. And that's not me. I actually heard that in the lodge. You know, there's like, there's a lot of old heads from like way back in Atlantis and stuff. A lot of us are back. And a lot of us are here for karmic reasons. At least I know I'm here because I gotta get it right this time. I gotta turn my karma into Dharma. Blake, praise the Lord that I have an opportunity to turn that karma into Dharma. But whoo, these 33 years of karma been some bullshit. Okay? Flip that thing around. Let's do some. I think I figured it out. Whew. And you know, it's interesting because to sit with the totality of my person and all my past lives and where I am now, it's humbling. Usually, and you know, like my entire life, I've always been afraid of embracing my power because I thought I'd be corrupted by it. I thought I would just be power hungry. And I never really understood why I thought I would be that way. But when I think about my whole and integrated self and my past lives, it's because I've always been that way. I've always been extremely powerful. I've always been extremely advanced. That's how I am born with one of the most coveted gifts known to mankind, because I always have been powerful, inherently powerful. I did my work and I learned my arts, but I mastered the dark arts. You know, I mastered them from the left hand path. I got, you know, if anybody watched Stargate SG-1, there was a character Anubis. He was one of the ascended beings, but instead of being a ball of light, he was a dark, shadowy mass, because though he had, you know, mastered ascension just like the rest of the ancients did, he used his power for, he was corrupted by the power, so he used it for his own self, his own purposes and his own agendas, and he was kind of like a master of the dark arts. And you know, due to that, he was punished by everybody else in the world of light. And you know, yeah, he, you know, made the crossover, so you know, he kept his, you know, ascension status, but he still, you know, kind of dwelt in maybe a form of limbo, because he was basically kind of an outcast and dwelt in a form of limbo because he was consumed by his power and was, you know, what many people would call evil. And that's when you get into the thing about power, and there's no real light or dark or good or bad or good or evil. It's just, you know, the all of that is interpreted by our experience, whether it brings pleasure or harm. And and the heart and the will of the practitioner, right? I'm one of those, I'm like Anubis. I'm one of those people that, yeah, I did the damn thing and I'm powerful as fuck, but I tend to be consumed by, you know, my power. And this time around, and trying to turn karma into dharma in this hellhole called Earth, and this retarded thing called human experience, it's just weird verbalizing this, but like, this is a realization of like who I am, you know. I've always been extremely powerful, but my power, I always like never failed. It consumed me and I used it for my own purposes, you know. Like I said, the monster in the mirror is me. I saw myself and mirror through everyone that I encountered in that lodge in Atlanta. And I thought I was fighting some people, but I was only fighting reflections of myself. And then now, like, Riff was like, ew, I was fighting lesser reflections of myself, so I'm just kind of disgusted with myself, too, because it's like, ew. Why did I even waste my time? But I was not at this level of consciousness, awareness, and a willingness to accept the totality of my being. I
was still pretty fragmented because I wanted to be this holier-than-thou good person. Then I also wanted to be a powerful person. But I didn't want to be what the world perceived as evil or bad or dark. But I'm always drawn to that, right? That's just because it's who I am. It's who I've always been. But this time, how do I use my evil for good? That's kind of where we are now. And considering the times we're in, we kind of need an adept at the dark arts. People who are just adept with darkness. To kind of bring the light in. Because we are lost, right? This is a different kind of dark age. It's not just like ignorance. You know, I mean, ignorant. There's a lot of fucking ignorance. But the thing is, like, this is the information age. But it's also information overload. A lot of it is misinformation. A lot of it is disinformation. And a lot of it's all just convoluted. And very few people on this earth have the level of consciousness, awareness, and discernment to be able to sift through all this information. Like I said, I've been here a few times, and I've been a powerful badass a few times. So, you know, I have a lot of naturally occurring gifts. Like, not just my ability to see the future, which is fucking annoying because I'll see things about people I'm not thinking about. I'll see into the lives of people I don't want to talk to. I'll see the future of somebody that may have irritated my nerves, but I really don't want to think about them. I'll see all kinds of things, and then I'll have a regular ass dream, and then it drives me crazy, you know, whatever the fuck. Karma, you know, whatever. But you know, we need masters of the dark arts now. But it's one of those things. How much bad are you willing to do to achieve the greater good? And you need somebody like me, a master of the fucking deviants, who finally discovered what it means to have a good heart to achieve the goal. I'm just one player. I'm not saying that, you know, the entire world and saying the world is up to me. It is not. I still, you know, I need a team, and there are multiple teams out there. And, you know, at some point we'll all meet and work together. But, you know, for right now, and as you can see, even if you just through the progression of this podcast, and from roasting everybody in the conspiracy community to me being a part of the conspiracy community to me revealing to you guys, I'm one of the most powerful people on earth, and I'm scared of my own power because I subconsciously and unconsciously, by way of the past life memories, which are repressed but still there, I know what my power is capable of doing to me. But now I'm being initiated to a point where I'm free. And just now, in this moment, in this podcast, I really know what it means, what this new found freedom, this next level of my life is. And it's, I've done the hard work of learning my karmic lessons, and now I apply it. I'm free to be who I've always been, which is a power-hungry fuck, who is inherently powerful because I've spent a lot of goddamn time harnessing this goddamn power and perfecting it. But now, what do I do with it? You know, it's still that free will. You know what I mean? I still can choose what to do with it. Painfully aware of the fact that I have always been consumed by it. Now I'm going to end it right where the fuck I always was in my glory days. And I have to, you know, behave myself at best, I think. I don't know, I think I can do it. I don't know. We'll see. I have to get there first. And I think the getting there, the real test is, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy because my test is that I will probably have to be exactly who I always was, which is someone slightly consumed by her own power. I'll probably have to do some evil to do good. Because that's me. That's what I do, right? I was having a conversation with somebody, and I was just telling her that this is how you play, and this is how you work, and she was like, really? But that's bad. I was like, well, that's how it works. Do you want to do it or not? You know? And I'm just like, unbothered. I'm like, I guess I am the darker of the two. And that's just me realizing you know, and maybe the purpose of that conversation was just to show me that, you know, dark arts is, I have a natural inclination for the dark arts, and that's because I mastered the dark arts eons ago, darling. And, this is my chance to use them for good. Like I said, we are in a dark place right now, and you need... It's like, you know, every hero has, you know, when you see, like, Olivia Pope or Annalise Keating or just anybody who is in power trying to do good, they always have a team of savages, and there's that one really dark person that will kill anyone or anything because they're trained to, right? And then the thing is like, yeah, they may have a killer, but it's the person who at their core can order someone to be killed or order someone's life to be ended or order for someone's character to be assassinated. That takes a special level of inner darkness and ownership of that darkness to execute. And that's just who I am as a person. That's who I've always been. But how do I do that to achieve the greater good for humanity? We shall see in the coming days, weeks, months, and years, darlings. But this segment's getting long, and this was fun. So, that's enough for tonight. And I suppose I will chat with you guys another day. I'm gradually going to work towards getting to my daily podcast. It's been really hard to just get out of bed sometimes. But, I'm going to get there. Check out the blog, www.awakeneddemagogue.com. If you want me to use some of my evil for your good, check me out, www.theculturedscholar.com. I will help you cultivate yourself and your brand or your campaign, personal brand specifically, and align you with sustainable development goals and help position you as a catalyst, a change agent for humanity. However, I am going to focus my research on space and cyber. That is the future of humanity, America, and all things glorious, including the ultimate disclosure that everybody's waiting on. So if you want to expedite a disclosure, if you want to learn more about space and cyber policy and how that relates to international relations and the new second round of the space race, support the independent research so I don't have to go work for somebody else's agenda. You can give me send a tip or a gift to my Cash App, $LIARTISTE, L'Artiste. It's a play on the French L'Artiste, which means the artist. Lee, my nickname, artiste. Lee Artiste, L'Artiste. $ in front. Throw a tip, throw a hint, throw a gift. If you want to join the email list, put in the notes your email and let me know that you want to join the email list. I'm going to check y'all out soon, all right? Deuce.